The following program is a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.
Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby, the show where we focus on not only the mental issues of the community, but the solutions as well. From anxiety-relieving techniques that you can practice at home, to services available to you and your loved ones right here in your own community. Now, without further ado, Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Eyes on Psych with Lewis Busby. And the big wig of the office is in here today, Miss Trish Spate.
I'm going to get that.
Thank you.
How are you, Trish?
I'm good. About to enjoy some ginger beer.
Trish is more of a our behind the scenes. She is my boss, so everybody be nice. She is actually the magic behind everything that happens at the recording library. She's the one that keeps the doors open. So
it's not ginger beer, it's ginger ale.
Yes. Oh, it's ginger ale. Well, where's the whiskey that goes
What's
with it, Lewis?
The difference between that?
Well, yeah. You can get a lot of ginger beer that's not actually alcoholic.
Sure, yeah. Most of it is not alcoholic.
Talk into the mic, Lewis.
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah, eat it.
Well, it's been a pretty active day for me, guys. Went to work this morning and we went to Fiddlesticks Farms, and anybody who's been in Midland, Odessa for most of their lives knows what Fiddlesticks Farms is. Unfortunately, I knew what it was. I just had never been. And Fiddlesticks Farm
successfully avoided it.
Oh my gosh! for kids, it's a great place. Kids would love Fiddlesticks Farms, but for adults who don't know what to expect. Just know that there's a lot more to it than what you would be led on to think. There's a lot of fiddlesticks in that farm. And my rear end hurts like crazy because I went on the little ride thing that they pull behind the tractor for the little kids. That is not for adults. Adults, if you're listening now, just trust me when I say that ride is not for you. All right. Now, leading into this, I think Trish has a few subjects for us to talk about. What do you got for us?
Well, we're going to try a couple of things structure-wise. I'm not a structured person, but I do appreciate structure. Mm-hmm. I mean, when other people do it.
Yeah, it's great when other people do it.
So Bailey is, I asked her to kind of take over Sarah's role as our producer.
Mm-hmm.
But then she's not here today. So I'm the substitute. The substitute of the substitute.
Yeah, Sarah was kind of the one who kept the order, I guess.
Yes.
Of course, that's her personality. That is not my personality, nor is it yours, Lewis.
It is mine, but you always draw me off topic.
I don't know what you're talking about. What the hell is that?
You're a very good listener, right. Lewis.
Yes, you're a great listener.
An awesome skill.
and your field of work, that is a great skill.
Well, sure. It's necessary.
Yeah. I would say so.
Come on. Let's be honest. When sometimes people are talking to you about their problems or life, do you ever just zone out for a second?
It happens occasionally.
I just, because I couldn't pay attention that long.
Normally, you know? It's okay, but... Yeah, if they're just going on tangents.
I think we could make a whole skit out of that.
So you ignore Chris.
Well, we just tell him he's in his own padded room.
This is true.
Okay, so Bailey came up for us today with the topic of, I sound very grovelly, like I haven't been talking. The ongoing problem and diagnosis and treatment of mental illness in seniors.
Mm-hmm.
So, her research says the fact that older adults are more likely to report physical symptoms than psychiatric complaints is a problem. And that's according to the CDC. However, even the normal physical and emotional stresses that go along with aging can be risk factors for mental illnesses like anxiety and depression. So the Geriatric Mental Health Foundation, interesting, I'd never heard of that, lists a number of potential triggers for mental illness in the elderly. And the number one is physical disability, which we deal with a lot here because people find us when they've experienced a physical disability that they may not have had when they were younger.
Well, and just from delivering our radios and stuff personally, I can say that some of our clients do need to reach out and seek help, just because, I mean, loneliness is a big factor, and it can drive you, you know, to have other mental issues, you know, just being alone for too long. Would you like to elaborate on that for us, any, Lewis?
Sure. of course, when people are lonely, they're gonna form mild bouts of depression. We're social creatures as humans. So, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, he's the one, I think that's the one that wrote Walden's Pond, right?
I don't know.
Anyhow, he said that.
I should know that. That's a Jeopardy question.
I bet April would know.
That's a total Jeopardy question.
Basically, he was living in the wilderness and believed that society was a problem and he was better off without society. And so he wrote all of his books pertaining to that. And then closer to the end of his death, he realized he wasted his life because he was not a social creature.
Right.
So we are social creatures regardless of whether we want to be or not.
Well,
this is true. I mean, I love my own little corner of the world as much as the next guy, but you got to branch out, which is...
So some of the things that can compound that for older people, in addition to physical disability, are long-term illnesses and chronic conditions. Dementia-causing illness, which is the example of Alzheimer's disease. Physical illnesses that affect thought, memory, and emotion, including thyroid and adrenal disease. All those glands start to fail when they get old. Change of environment, moving into assisted living or moving in with family. Illness or loss of a loved one. Medication interactions, alcohol and substance abuse, and poor diet and malnutrition.
Wait, so you're telling me that moving in with their family can actually have a negative side effect as well?
Well, it's a change of environment.
Huh. I figured, I mean, that's... To me, if you take an elderly, you know, person who was a part of a couple, and the other one passed on before they did, it seemed to me like that would be the most healthy thing for them to do is move in with their kids, you know, so that they can be close to somebody, you know, who loves them.
Yeah, but then they feel like they're losing their independence and their whole structure. If you think about it, if I came in here and rearranged your office,
I would stab you.
Right. So how do you think they feel when they are moved into a house that they don't choose or wish to be in?
They would stab you. No.
Right.
At least I understand a little bit better.
And a lot of, well, I have a geriatric parent, mm-hmm. and she doesn't want to be trouble. I mean, that's a huge part, which is very kind of her. And I have told her many times when she's with us, she's not trouble. She's really easy. House guest, I understand that's her psyche. Oh, God. Just drop that. Sorry.
Look at you, just throwing things around the office.
But she doesn't like that. She doesn't want to be dependent on.
Well,
us.
I can definitely understand not wanting to be a burden. I mean, I don't think any of us want to be a burden, especially on our own children. One of the things going back to. Elderly people not being as likely to reach out for psychiatric problems. I think one of the most logical reasons for that isn't, you know, just because they're elderly. I think a lot of it has to do with the time that they lived in. I mean, if you think about people, you know, who are in their 70s and 80s, if you were labeled mentally defective in any way, that meant like some serious treatment, electroshock therapy, being locked up in a mental ward, that kind of thing. They come from a much different time.
Bit of a stigma, yeah.
Traditionally, the elderly, that's exactly what, it's a stigma for them. They, if you had mental health in the families back in the day, they would literally just kind of dismiss you from the family and you'd be in a ward. Or they would keep you hidden in a closet or a room or somewhere because, I mean, look at Boo Radley. For instance, sure. I mean, that's fictional, but same logic.
Oh, I think it's fiction based on truth. Right. I think she really knew someone like that in her little town.
No doubt.
Yeah. Harper Lee.
Mm-hmm.
That. I mean, that story was a little bit too rich with character to be completely fake. You know what I mean?
Have y'all read the new Harper Lee book?
I have not.
I haven't either.
No, I refuse. Okay.
Wait, why do you refuse?
Because it can't be as good as the original.
It can't, and I read some reviews, but someday I'll get around to it. But he's always one of my favorite characters.
Boo Radley?
Yeah. But and he just wanted to be part of that community. And, you know, with he made friends out of children because that's easy.
Well, now he probably would be a part of our community.
Well, not to mention back then they also made the mistake of thinking that certain physical disabilities also meant mental disabilities. So they literally drove a perfectly sane person insane just by treating them differently.
Yeah, I think there was something else going on with him. Anyway, back to the elderly. So when I was looking at this, of course, I started thinking about my mother because she's 80 and she has, you know, right now she's having some health issues. They can't really determine what it is. Not serious, but chronic ongoing problems. And when she was here last, I could see her just kind of going, like getting sad about it. Mm-hmm. And she didn't like it. She doesn't want to be, like I said, a burden. She also doesn't want to feel bad, obviously. So my solution was I took her for a margarita, which did help in the moment.
I would imagine it did.
In the moment. So I think it was the combination of all those things were kind of making her feel down.
Well, I think a lot of it is also, I mean, you grow up independent your whole life and, you know, it makes her feel weak. It makes her feel less in control, and feeling vulnerable in front of your kids is really hard, I would imagine.
Yeah, I wouldn't like it. I'm super independent, so I'm going to be a horrible old person. Got it. So the other thing that Bailey had mentioned was that we have a letter. So that's another new thing that's part of our new structure is that she's going to solicit a letter to Lewis every week. So this letter is, Dear Lewis, my mother is 72 and we are about to move her into our house because she is no longer able to live alone due to the risk of falling. She has always been independent and I know she is struggling with the fact that she can't live on her own anymore. So what are some things that I can do to make her more comfortable? And that is from someone named Cheryl.
Well, Cheryl, if you're moving her in, you can, of course, make her room, decorated out of things that are her own possessions that can remind her when she was in her own house or whatnot. You can also, you know, ask her. It really depends on the person. But you can ask her if she'd like to be a participant in helping take care of, you know, a chore or something, nothing major. Right. Just give her a sense of purpose. And make sure that she's engaging in society still and not just becoming reclusive in that room in the back because it's easier.
I think it's a very good thing that you said there. I would have never thought personally to give my parents chores.
You don't have to, but you ask them.
If you present it in a way that says, you know, it would really help me out if you could do this. You know, I don't want to, and act like you don't want to be a burden on them by asking them, mm-hmm. and, you know, give them a sense of purpose. You know, that's actually a very good idea. It's something I wouldn't have thought of.
Right. Well, I think that's something that people do even not just for parents, but for spouses. Because, mm-hmm. you know, my dad had a long illness, and I think he definitely had all of these things, but she was with him. But I think he had a lack of things he was used to doing, and she kind of had taken over a lot of stuff. So giving him something, it's been a while. I can't really remember any specific tasks or anything, but I could see, especially people who are used to being busy all the time.
Mm-hmm. I think giving them purpose, making sure that purpose is the most important thing for any human being at any age. If they have a sense of purpose, they have a life, they can live, they're happier, they're healthier. But besides a sense of purpose, you can also add things such as making sure they have hobbies. Trying to ignite hobbies within them and whatnot. So,
And the nutrition aspect also kind of stuck out at me because that's one thing that we've kind of been wanting my mother to bump up her nutrition.
I've noticed that's pretty common in a lot of elderly folks. They don't like to eat healthy.
Right. I mean, I'm not saying, and she wouldn't mind me saying this, but for a while she was dehydrated. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge problem because she drank coffee, a lot of coffee.
I didn't know. I actually didn't know coffee dehydrated you.
She drank a lot of coffee, and then she would switch to a Diet Coke, and then at 5 o'clock she would switch to wine.
I need to keep that in mind because I honestly, so, I was like, coffee is mostly water,
sugar, alcohol.
Yep,
that's so, a breakfast of champions right there.
We had to be more insistent about her making sure she gets water and stuff. And I think a lot of people also don't know that, and my mother-in-law had this problem, when you have any kind of an illness, like a bacterial infection, especially for ladies with a UTI or something, it affects your mental health.
Mm-hmm. Especially which, in the elderly.
Yeah, it's a very, that's, I did not know that was common. But
that's what, when we're sense. When we're admitting someone, or when someone goes to the hospital for mental illnesses and they're elderly, they always check UTI first. To make sure it's not a UTI.
That's kind of crazy.
Right.
Huh.
Any, but when you're dealing with mental health in general, you should always check the medical first to make sure there's not a medical problem.
Well, and I have a personal experience with that. Well, my fiance, Tawny, her mother got incredibly ill 2 Christmases ago, was in the hospital, and almost... it seemed like she was insane, and but it came out of nowhere, and they were about to admit her to a psych ward because they could not find any medical reason that she would be acting the way that she was, and then she almost went comatose. Like, and then when she would come out of it, she was not lucid at all, and finally, some doctor caught some weird. He suggested that maybe she had some strange infection that. For here, it would be incredibly rare. They tested for it, came up positive, and she got better almost immediately. And all because of something medically that they didn't catch.
Right.
And they were about to, you know, they're about to admit her to the psych ward.
And she probably would have been in a lot of danger after that because the psych ward would immediately assume, generally, that...
She's insane.
Right. Yeah. Or the psychiatrist, that is the leader of the psych ward. He's going to be doing medication for mental health issues. He's not.
And which would have made it worse.
Medical issues. Right. So that's important to remember when you have, especially when you have control when someone lives with you.
I have a question for you, Lewis. My father, he's, by all means, he's more than able to take care of himself. He's not.
He's like my age.
He's not in any
not
way
there yet, Chris.
He's not in any way hindered physically or mentally, but he's hard-headed as hell, and he's been diagnosed as pre-diabetic, and he knows that he should be eating better. He know, but everything I catch him eating, I'm like, Dad, you shouldn't be eating that. And he's like, no, but he won't listen to me because I'm his kid. Who's going to listen? You know, how do you get past that?
Well, he'll start having sores on the bottom of his feet. He'll have his feet cut off, and then
okay.
Well, there's good
there's
news at least.
Probably a few things will happen before that.
His dad is stubborn.
No. Actually, to be perfectly honest, Lewis cut to the chase, and that's probably what it would take.
But generally, for someone like that, you just have to make sure that show them the side effects. Show them the research that shows. What happens if you're not taking care of your diabetes? Show them the pictures.
Well,
show them the ulcers. Show them this is a possibility and tell them.
How do I get him into a position where he sees that? Where he,
ask him,
I can
ask
show
him, is the moon pie more important than happiness? Because diabetes does not make people happy.
Well, really, it's more beer with him. And I'm like, Dad, you can't drink just straight up alcohol anymore. Like, you can't drink just beer anymore.
Right.
You know, that converts over into sugar. You know, that's not good for you. And
is he insulin dependent?
No. He's pre-diabetic. But if he keeps going down the path that he is, it won't be a choice anymore. All he has to do is change a few things, and he can keep from being diabetic. But he's not doing it.
Well, he can have the beer still. He just needs to change other things.
Yeah, but he's also
got to pick.
But the other day at dinner, he's like, "Okay, I guess I won't have the chocolate cake this time." It's like, when are you having the chocolate cake? You should not be doing that.
Right.
Like, well. I think you have to approach it. This is what I would be tactful and approach it with moderation. But just like mom, you can still have the coffee and you can still have your wine at 5 o'clock, but let's add in water.
In between those things.
Yeah. I think that's
it. Yeah, but unfortunately for my dad's diet, carrots don't vouch for chocolate cake.
In anyone's. Doesn't work.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying though.
So substitute for carrot cake.
Not the same, Lewis. You're not helping, sir.
I know.
You know what? Where's a dietitian when we need one?
Dietitian.
Shut up.
I'm sorry.
Is it really a dietitian?
Yes, it's dietitian. Okay. I'm looking out for
you. I'm going to shut up now.
You're good.
And what one of our things that Bailey had listed was one thing that would help would be to keep your mind stimulated. She had three things. Repeating what you know, which a lot of people repeat, but I'm not sure what that means. Maybe
old people love repeating things. My grandmother has seen every episode of SVU at least 20 times.
The second thing was learning new things. Volunteering, which we were going to mention SeniorLink because that's a local. They have a great program there, retired and senior volunteer program, and there people of all different abilities can find a volunteer job.
Now, it gives them a purpose.
When you're talking about Alzheimer's and forms of dementia, you have a lot of other issues. First of all, I think they have medications now that can help with it. Basically, Alzheimer's specifically is because of the myelinated sheaths of the axons on the axon terminals are basically fading away. They're rubbing away, so it just kind of sparks everywhere. No,
I didn't understand any of those words you put together.
Well... We'll talk about it later.
But there's some medication for that.
Right. So they're finding new ways to do it, but the problem is they're highly expensive, and in America, we're really slow at approving medications.
Very slow. Any kind of treatments. All right. That gene therapy stuff is so cool, but it's a lot of people go to Mexico.
Right. Or other places, yeah.
Yeah. Or Japan is like an awesome place. So the other thing listed was to try... When you're younger, try things like Lumosity. That's a phone application.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
That's daily brain games. I don't know. I mean, my mom does crosswords, and she's sharp as a tack. So.
Yeah. We need to ask Exike what she does, because that woman is spectacular.
Well, she reads here at the recording library.
There you go. We need more volunteers.
Yes, we do need more volunteers here.
Yeah. Reading and crossword puzzles, that's my mom's main activities, and like I said, sure, her brain is fine.
And I actually have the Lumosity app, but it's not just I don't want to give the wrong impression, you know, it's not just for old people. I'm just saying that it's a game that you can download on your phone, and it actually encourages brain activity, and it really does help keep you sharp.
And when we're talking about dementia and Alzheimer's, we're not always talking about elderly people either. That's something that most people think it's because you're older. But sometimes dementia it can happen up in youth too as well, anywhere from adolescents above, but it's usually drug-induced dementia or the same thing as drug-induced.
Well,
psychosis.
And I will casually throw out the girls on the railroad tracks. Those in the news yesterday, they were taking pictures and stuff, and obviously, that's crazy to play on railroad tracks, right? But there was some kind of drug involvement there. I think they were smoking something, meth, or I can't remember what the police said. But
did they get hit by a train?
One of them did, yeah.
Then you also
even if you're
alcohol.
Playing on the tracks, there's quite a bit of a warning.
You can have alcohol issues too, by the way. Like, have you ever heard of wet brain?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Basically, if you become if you're like a heavy-duty alcoholic, and over time it can kind of seep through the brain, is what they say, and it causes all kinds of mental issues. Psychosis.
What? Yeah, I've known some people who wet brain is medical terminology, right. But we use pickled.
Right. Pickled, yes.
That's basically what it's doing.
See, so. Trish is speaking my language now. I've heard it's of pickled. Yes.
Yeah, people, they just don't think right anymore.
Yeah, Lewis, you and your jargon of the medical variety.
I don't actually think wet brain is the medical.
No, I doubt very seriously that's
probably
the medical.
Like, I don't know.
It's like Chris Farley saying, I got what doctors call a bit of a weight problem.
So the other thing we were going to talk about, and I think, how are we on time?
We've got about 6 minutes.
That's
we got
perfect.
Time.
That's perfect.
Has anyone said anything, Chris? It looks like it.
I don't know. Yes, it does look like people are saying things.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Trish. Okay. I thought that you were tuned in.
I wasn't monitoring it. I'm sorry.
You know what? That's my bad, right there, folks. You go ahead with y'all's thing.
He's looking.
No, y'all go. Y'all go ahead.
Well, that sort of brings me full circle to the when in the local, not just the local, but in the news, and so everybody, is informed, and especially our listeners listen to the newspaper and everything. And there's been a lot of bad news lately. Mm. And I think that it's important, one thing for mental health for anybody of any age, because I was really sad last week about everything that happened in Las Vegas.
I have some news about that.
That's kind of neat.
It's just Bailey commenting.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Bailey.
Well, what's your news?
So y'all remember Dr. Joseph? He's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And the American Board of Surgeons contacted him, saying, what can we do about these kind of things? Because it's becoming more prevalent, these kind of actions. And there was not an immediate mental health response. The only response that came was from the VA. And the VA is primarily social workers because they're the ones that got the contract with Medicaid instead of counselors. But anyhow, then it's not enough to help all of the people, all of the victims, all of the first responders that are having, you know, mental health issues caused by this. So he thinks it might be a good idea, and he's going to talk to them when they call again, about forming, like, automatic response groups of mental health providers in different regions.
Mm-hmm.
And I could help with that.
That's a great idea. Well, they do that a little bit with the schools.
Right.
You know, if there's an incident in a school.
In Odessa. Midland lost its contract. Can you believe that?
Oh, and I know they didn't have there was a problem with I'm on the SHAC committee, the Student Health Advisory Committee, and we recommended that they hire 6 more counselors for all things, but mostly for crisis response and stuff, and it was not in the budget.
It never had. This is the thing, though. So not to get off on tangents, but this is the thing that bothers me about Midland, and there's something that bothers me about Odessa, too. Odessa has 12 to 14, I don't remember, crisis counselors that are preventative in the school system. Midland had 3 crisis counselors that were aftercare.
Right.
In other words, let's cover it up. That's how I felt about it. And I've been verbal about that since the beginning.
Yeah.
However, Midland County, Midland City and Midland County have like 14 or 15 mental health deputies. So that's useful for the city. And Odessa only has 3. So it's kind of like the swap.
It's reversed.
And Odessa's mental health deputies are also civil warrant servers. So they're busy doing that half the time. It's just messed up.
Yeah.
We need to figure out a way to fix mental health in general, the system.
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. Well, anyway, so all this bad news or depressing news and just not positive, and then worrying. People are worrying about all kinds of stuff. We have to worry about North Korea and Iran and Puerto Rico and everything.
There's a lot of things.
There's a lot of things to worry about. So in the interest of mental health, I decided that it would be a good idea if we each think of something that is making us feel good this week to share.
It's like Thanksgiving every week.
So people can share that on the Facebook page, or we're going to set up a phone number, too, where people can call in for questions that we could take next week.
Ooh.
I just don't know the number. It's ready to go. Because some people are not on Facebook, so we're going to have a phone number. Mm-hmm. But back to the question of what's making us feel good this week. And this is sort of a take on, there's a show on NPR called Pop Culture Happy Hour. And at the end of it, they say, they ask everybody in the room, what's making you happy this week, pop culture wise. So it's usually a book, a TV show, something like that.
I got my troll doll in, my Trump troll doll.
Trump troll.
You did?
Yes, it finally came in. That was 8 months ago that I...
Yeah. You said you're going to keep us updated on when you got it.
Yeah, finally got it. In.
What is it?
It's a troll doll that has a Trump head.
Yeah.
And his hair. It's his face and his hair and a little phone in one hand and all kinds of other inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was about to say he should be tweeting with one hand.
You see what I'm doing here?
I'll show you the picture.
So that's making you happy this
it
week?
Did.
That
it cheered me up.
You got a little package in the mail.
All right.
Okay.
My turn?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Okay. Nothing in the news. I just I'm going to paint pumpkins with my boys this evening, so that's going to be fun.
You going to paint one for me?
No.
Painting, not jack-o'-lanterns?
Well, see, we did jack-o'-lanterns last year, and they die rather quickly.
Yeah, they do. You have to do them the day before Halloween.
Yeah, yeah. They deteriorate quickly, so if you paint them, we figure it'll last longer.
Well, sure.
And then we have all kinds of strobe lights and spotlights that we can spotlight them with and everything.
That's cool.
We're going to try
Halloween.
We're trying that this year. We'll see which one we like better and go with that the following years. But
cool. Well, I didn't have anything because it's, like I said, it's been depressing. But then today my daughter came through about an hour ago. She had a voice lesson, and I'm always bugging her to record parts of her voice lesson. And so she did this week, and she sent it to me, and I got to hear her sing. She lives in Oklahoma City, so
Can you play it for our show?
Yeah, I can play it. I don't get to hear her very much. We're out of time.
We're out of time.
We'll try that next week.
Okay, well, we'll play it for Facebook.
Actually, if you want to send me the audio file, I can master it.
No, that's okay.
Anyways.
I would have to have her permission to do that.
Well, thank you guys for joining. Thank you, Trish, for the subjects. It's actually very helpful. It's been a good pace.
Well, from now on, either Bailey or I will probably be here.
Thank you very much.
I have a lot of subjects I'd like us to do, too.
We need to talk about that.
Okay.
Well, you'll see that next time on Eyes on Psych. Thank you guys for joining us.
All right. Thank you.
That's all the time we have for Eyes on Psych this week. Please join us again next week, where we'll talk about more issues, more solution techniques, and more services available to you in your community. Until then, hang in there. You're stronger than you realize.
This program was a production of the Recording Library of West Texas and is also available at recordinglibrary.org.